Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church this morning. If you're a visitor here, we are glad to have you and would encourage you to come each and every week. So we'll now have our mission moments by the House of Grace.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Saylor, and I'm the director for the House of Grace of Chambersburg. Thank you all so much for allowing me to come here and share with you guys a little bit about the House of Grace and what our ministry means to our community. Can you guys all hear me? Okay, I'm coming down here so I can see my PowerPoint. So we are a mentoring ministry for women. We only serve women, and there is a belief that we shelter women. We do not. We're not a shelter. We offer life skills classes, education, mentorship, relationship building, and things like that to women in our community. Our mission is just that, to offer those things and meet the spiritual and practical needs of women within our community. Help if I turn the remote on, right? Okay. So a little bit about me. My name is Nicole Saylor. I began directing in June of this year, so I haven't been in this position very long. You guys are my very first speaking engagement, so thank you for being my guinea pigs. I appreciate it. I have a husband named Jimmy. The wedding picture down there in the corner, you guys might recognize the stained glass window in the back. I was married here. My husband and I attended here for a little bit when Pastor Brian and Nancy were here. And then when Pastor Brian left, we had also left. Oh, thank you. But yes, we were married here. We led worship a couple times, filled in for the worship team over in the Family Life Center. Outside of the House of Grace, I lead a women's ministry on Wednesday nights at Grand Point Church. I also teach third grade Sunday school at Grand Point Church. I have a heart for women's ministry. I love seeing women learn how to take the Bible and apply it to their everyday life. That our Christian walk is not just what we do on Sunday mornings, but that we remember the lessons that we learn and apply them to every single day of our walk, and to grow in our relationship with Christ and just who we are as people and walk in what Christ has called us to become. And I was very blessed to be able to get involved in the House of Grace to see women do just that. They come to us, and you'll hear some testimony in the video. They come to us sometimes not knowing very much about the Bible, but they're learning it in a way that they can understand and how to take it with them. And it is so encouraging to hear them encourage one another. They're in a place where they feel safe enough to reach out to each other and pray for one another, and they'll remember scripture that we talk about in Bible study, and they'll say, oh, don't be getting grumpy now. Remember, we just talked about, you know, what negativity does to us. And I love seeing them be able to remember what they're learning, encourage one another, build each other up. And we are truly like a tribe. Like, this is our family. This has become another family to me. And I look forward to every day that I get to go to work and be with these women, because they are amazing. So a little bit of the history of the House of Grace. The house was built in 1855. It was believed to have been used in the Underground Railroad in the late 1800s. There are tunnels underneath the house that were going to collapse. So they have been boarded up and things like that so that they wouldn't collapse. But it is believed that that house was used in the Underground Railroad. And then in April of 1989, Janet Johnston had this vision to have a ministry for women where they could just come and get fed and just be loved on and shown the grace and love of God. And I love that her vision from 1989 is still happening. So currently, we are only open on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Part of our mission is to expand that. We would love to be open 5 days a week, offering life skills classes like job development, resume building, computer skills, things like that. But right now we have crafting and macrame, Bible study, journaling. We're partnering with Women in Need every Wednesday afternoon. A lady from Women in Need comes and does topics like healthy boundary setting and things like that. And then on Thursdays, we do sewing, knitting, and crocheting. We provide lunch both days, and everything is free of charge. We don't go through insurances. The ladies just get to come in and be blessed by the ministry. So I could stand up here and share testimony after testimony about what the house means to the people of the House of Grace, but I thought maybe you guys would like to hear from them yourself. So I couldn't bring them all with me, unfortunately, but I have a video to share with you. So the main reason I'm here, how can we get you guys to help us make a difference in our community? So there is a number of ways that you can help the House of Grace continue in our ministry. You can become a volunteer. We are always looking for volunteers. So if you're free on a Wednesday or Thursday and would love to come out, we would love to have you. We are always in need of supplies that just help our ministry flow, such as toilet paper and paper towels and coffee and just all the normal necessities. And then also giving financially, supporting the ministry. This allows us to continue to grow, to have the finances that we need to offer more skills, to expand, to offer more ladies to be able to come, to keep providing those free meals that the ladies look forward to. So every contribution, whether it's time, resources, or financial support, helps to create a place where women can grow in their faith, build meaningful relationships, and experience the love of Christ. So thank you for considering partnering with us. Also, we are starting a newsletter, so if you have a business or something that you would like to advertise, you can become a partner and sponsor our newsletter and have a little advertisement spot for that. We also, and I have some things back at the table, we have started the Little Grace Shop. So the ladies are making things in the life skills classes. The picture at the top, one of the ladies actually sewed that dress. She found a pattern, she cut out the material and everything. So we have a little shop where the ladies make dishcloths and scrubbies and prayer shawls. We have prayed over every one of the prayer shawls. And it's everything is by suggested donation. So whether it's $1 or $5 or whatever you want to give, I do have some of the things back here today if anyone's interested in taking a look. And we also take custom orders. If you really like hand-knitted or hand-crocheted dishcloths, look us up. And thank you again for choosing to support our ministry. We appreciate anything and everything that you can do. Above anything else, we covet your prayers. Please be praying for our ministry. Please be praying that the women that need our ministry find us and come to us, and that we continue to support these women in the ways that they need, and that we are in line with God's will for the plan for this ministry. Thank you.
If you'll please rise and join with me the call to worship from the bulletin. We gather together from our scattered lives.
Gathered as a body, asking for guidance and good news.
Yet we are reminded of a hurting world, harassed and helpless, seeking a shepherd.
May our time together strengthen our bonds to one another and to our commitment to share compassion.
As we hear the call of the Lord on our own lives, may we become the laborers spreading the kingdom of God in this world. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." May God bless the reading of his word, and I'll turn over for a sermon from Pastor Galen.
We have practiced this before, so Today is the pop quiz. Here we go. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Isn't God good? Amen? If we look around at this world, we see His goodness. We can feel the changing of the seasons. Can you feel it when you go out in the morning? Somebody said, Pastor, it was 46 one of these days. That's getting pretty cold. So we can feel the changing of the seasons. We live in an area where we get it all. We get the summer, we get the fall, we get the winter, we get the spring, and it's so beautiful to see the changing of the seasons, and we're in a time when the season is changing, and it's beautiful. If you look around, some trees are even starting to change. Now, I know if you don't like cold weather, you think, Pastor, that's not so good, but it is beautiful to see. Amen? If you look around, you see His goodness in our children. We see our goodness, His goodness. As we look around, all around us, we see the goodness of God. Amen? I want you to imagine this morning that you are talking to someone. You're having a conversation. And the person that you're talking with is hurting deeply. You're not aware of that. It just comes upon this person as you're talking, and this person has a tear that develops in their eye. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before, where you've been in a conversation with someone and you notice that for some reason there's a tear that has formed in their eye. And you could respond to this person in conversation. You were having a great time. You were even laughing a little bit. You see this tear form in their eye, and you could respond by being upset because this person is crying, and their crying has interrupted your conversation. So you get a little irritated because this person, why are you crying? We were sharing a conversation that was uplifting, that was funny, and now you have ruined it with your tears. And you could respond irritated with that person. Or maybe you respond by just simply ignoring those tears. And that person is hurting deeply. But you decide to look the other way and go about your own business, and you just ignore it. But here's how Jesus responds to that person who was shedding a tear, who was deeply hurting. Here's how Jesus responded to people who were hurting deeply. And I want us to look today at Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, verses 35 and 36, and I'd like that slide to come up this morning because that's our focus today. Because when Jesus saw the crowds, and He saw and knew that they were hurting deeply, here's what Jesus did. Matthew 9:36 says that Jesus had compassion on the crowd because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the suffering of the people that was around Him, here's what He did. The Bible says that He had compassion on them. He didn't respond by being irritated with them. He didn't respond by turning the other way. He didn't ignore their pain or their tears. The Bible said that He had compassion on them. Listen to me today. Jesus calls us to respond in the same way to the hurting, to people who are in need, to people who are suffering. Jesus calls us to be a church that is filled with compassion. So I want us to think today about what a church that is filled with compassion does. And here's what a church that's filled with compassion does. A church that's filled with compassion, first I want us to see today that a church that is filled with compassion does more than just see the suffering. A church filled with compassion enters into the suffering of other people. For the word compassion, if you look it up in the dictionary, literally means this. The word compassion literally means suffer with. So when the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on those who were hurting, Jesus was literally suffering with the people who were suffering. His heart was hurting. His heart was aching for the people who were suffering. When I was a little boy and I hurt myself, many times my mother would pick me up and my mother would look at my wound, whatever was hurting me, and she would say to me, and I can still hear her say it, she would say to me, "Honey, that hurts my heart. Honey, that hurts my heart." When she looked at my wound, whatever it was, she would say to me that her heart hurt right along with me. Listen to me today. When we see the physical suffering of other people, it should hurt our hearts. When we see people who are hurting, when we see people who are in need, when we see people struggling, it should hurt our hearts. Because right here in Shippensburg, there are people who are physically hungry. Right here in Shippensburg, there are people who are experiencing emotional pain. Right here in our community. Right here in our community, there are people who are controlled by addiction. There are people who are controlled by drugs and alcohol. Right here in our community, there have been ministries that have been developed right here in Shippensburg for people with addictions, for people addicted to drugs and alcohol. There are people who are suffering right here in our community. And Jesus says that this suffering should hurt our hearts. Amen? We should be suffering with those who are suffering. That's what it means to have compassion. Because there are people who are hurting all around us. And just as Jesus had compassion on those who were hurting, we should also have breaking hearts. We should be hurting in our hearts because of what we see in our community. In Matthew 9, chapter 36, Jesus' heart also hurt because there were some people who were spiritually sick. There were some people who were separated from God, who, if they didn't receive Jesus, would spend eternity in a place called hell. And right here in Shippensburg, there are people who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Right here in Shippensburg, there are people who are headed to a literal place called hell if they don't receive Christ into their hearts and into their lives. And as we look at this reality, brothers and sisters, this should hurt our hearts. Amen? It should hurt our hearts to know that there are people who could spend an eternity without Jesus Christ called hell. And we are called to have hearts that ache. Hearts that are hurting for those folks that don't know Jesus. And Jesus calls us to be a church that's filled with compassion. We're called to have hearts that suffer with people who are suffering. We're called to have hearts that suffer with people who are hurting physically but also spiritually. So I want us to see today that a church that's filled with compassion does more than just see the suffering. It's a church that enters into the suffering with people. Our hearts are called to ache for those who are suffering. But here's what else a church that is filled with compassion does. A church that is filled with compassion does something about the suffering that we see. in the world around us. Listen to me today. If we really suffer with people, if we really hurt in our hearts, then it will motivate us to do something about the suffering that we see. I want us to see the example of Jesus this morning in Matthew 9, verses 35 and 36. We see that Jesus had compassion on people, and Jesus' compassion then motivated him to do something about the suffering he saw. It says that Jesus healed the diseases of the folks he was around. He taught about the kingdom of God. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. His compassion motivated him to do something about the suffering that he saw. And here's what can happen to us, brothers and sisters. If we truly have compassion for people, if we truly suffer with them, if our heart aches because of the suffering we see, it will motivate us to do something about the suffering that is around us. There is a physical condition, you may know about it if you see a cardiologist or go to a family doctor. Or maybe you've read about a condition called hardening of the heart. It's a physical condition. It's when the arteries begin to harden due to cholesterol, or these arteries will start to harden in a body. And when this happens, the heart begins to close. It's actually those arteries close. They're responsible for the pumping of blood throughout our body. But as the arteries close, it makes it harder for that blood to pump through the body. And it is a condition that is called hardening of the heart or hardening of the arteries. And you see, a church can have that condition called hardening of the heart. Because a church can begin to think only about itself. And a church that has hardening of the heart has a focus on taking care of its needs. It takes care of itself mainly. And it worries about what it wants, what it desires. That's a church that has hardening of the heart. I have heard of these churches. I know about a church that at one time it gave no money at all to outreach. All it could do was pay the pastor. Nothing went out to help anybody else. And this church went through a phase where they would do projects. Some churches that have hardening of the arteries or hardening of the heart, they do projects to beautify their sanctuary. They take care of themselves. And this self-focus causes their hardening of their spiritual hearts. Because they think only of what they want. They think only of their needs. And they don't think about the needs of the community, of the people around them. Brothers and sisters, we're not called to be a church with a hardened heart. We are called instead to be a church with a compassionate heart. Amen? That's what kind of church we're called to be. A church that has a heart that breaks for the people around it. We're called to be a church that does something about the suffering in the world that we see. That's a church that has a compassionate heart. You may know the name Bob Pierce. Or you may not know that name, but Bob Pierce was the founder of Samaritan's Purse. I want you to raise your hand if you know that name. Samaritan's Purse is an organization that we most definitely support through the Covenant Brethren Church. We support it through this church. And it is an organization that provides physical and spiritual help to people who are hurting. We do things through Samaritan's Purse like the shoeboxes, the gifts in the shoeboxes that we give. And in every single gift, in every single shoebox, there's a gift of the story of Jesus Christ. As already been mentioned. We're going to go and send more boxes this year and give out the story of Jesus Christ to children all over the world. That is a way that we reach out to people who are hurting with the good news of Jesus Christ. Samaritan's Purse also has programs where they rebuild homes with people who have been destroyed. Their homes have been destroyed by natural disasters. Samaritan's Purse goes in and ministers to the physical needs, but also to the spiritual needs as people pray with them. They share Jesus with them. And it's a way to help people who are hurting. Bob Pierce, the founder of Samaritan's Purse, went to Asia in the 1940s and 50s. And Bob Pierce, when he went to Asia, he shared Jesus Christ all over Asia in the 1940s and 50s. And Bob Pierce said that when he went into those places in the 40s and 50s, he saw extreme poverty. People living in poverty that he had never seen that kind of poverty before. It was extreme. He saw abandoned orphans, people who just let the children go. They didn't do anything with the children. They just let them go. And he said it broke his heart as he saw this poverty. It broke his heart as he saw these abandoned orphans. He saw one little girl who had been beaten up in China. And he said that this really hurt his heart. It broke his heart. And Bob Pierce had compassion. The compassion that Jesus had as he looked out into the world and saw hurting people. Bob Pierce said he had that kind of compassion. And this compassion, as he looked out into Asia and he saw the extreme poverty, he saw abandoned orphans, he saw children who had been beaten up, it drove him to create something called Samaritan's Purse in 1970. This organization was created. Bob Pierce has a quote that I love. And here's the quote. This man that was moved to compassion for the children and people in Asia said this wonderful quote that has stuck with me for quite a long time. And here it is. It's one of my favorite quotes. Bob Pierce said this. He said, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." I love that. Let me say it again. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. I love that. I want you to say it with me. I'll break it apart, and all you have to do is repeat me. So here we go. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. One more time. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. May that be more than just something we say. May that quote live with us and inspire us to look out into this hurting world and let our hearts break for what we see. Because brothers and sisters, that's the starting point. That's where Jesus started. He started by looking out into the world and allowing his heart to be broken by the needs and the hurts of the people. That's our starting place. And then let us look out into the world, and as our hearts break, let us decide to do something. Let us decide to care so much that we do something about the suffering that we see. May our hearts be broken with the things that break the heart of God. And may we always be a church with a breaking heart. May we always be a church that is filled with compassion. And all of God's people said together, amen. You can go ahead and turn in your hymnals to our closing song today. It's called Here I Am, Lord. It's a beautiful song that we're going to sing together in just a moment. But before we sing this song called Here I Am, I want to invite you today to use this song as a way to commit yourself or recommit yourself, dedicate yourself today to being available for the Lord. This is a song that will remind us that we need that compassion in our hearts so that we can go out and minister to the needs of people around us. It's really a prayer, this song is, that we will be used by the Lord to do His work with a heart that's filled with compassion. Perhaps today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I never want to stand in this pulpit that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can come today and say, "Here I am, Lord." The Bible says that He will take your sins and He will receive those as they've never existed, the Bible says. As far as the east is from the west, He takes our sins from us and He forgives us for those sins, and it's a new beginning. If you've never experienced that new beginning, you can do that today by receiving Jesus as your Savior. And perhaps today you are struggling maybe with something in your life and you need prayer today. And you're saying to the Lord, "Lord, here I am. I need you. I need you today." And if you have a special need this morning, I invite you to come out of that pew and come forward today, and we'll lay hands on you and pray over you. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask today that you would help us be a church that is filled with compassion. Father, I pray that you would help our hearts to ache when we look around and see the spiritual needs, the physical needs of folks around us. Help us, Lord, be motivated by our compassionate hearts so that we can go out then and do something for the suffering that we see. Father, I thank you so much for being with us as we leave this place. I pray that your hand of protection would go with us as we go. Jesus Christ, that we offer this prayer, and together all of God's people said, Amen.